Good morning. It's 7:20 a.m. on August the 27th, 2019. A Tuesday. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Actually, I had a hamburger yesterday, so... Okay, then. Let's see, what is? Today is Tuesday. It is cold. It's chilly out here. Ambient is 60 degrees-ish. The official Greeley temperature is like 57. I'm warm enough, but my arms are cold. Short sleeve polo shirt. And it's a bit nippy. But it feels good after a lot of days in the high 90s, low hundreds. Having to be cool is really... Really nice. I'll see what. What do I want to talk about? Connecting the dots. I'm getting a lot of feedback. In, finally. A lot of the copies went out late. And I'm going to change the way I do beta. Reading. I'm going to make a list. It's going to be a subset of my mailing list, so that people who want to be beta readers can get an email from me directly, and I can set up the beta read with a little more control. Because the response to the podcast was really, really good. But I didn't get enough people to give me a good sample. Now remember that what I look for from a beta reader is not typos necessarily, although I will take them. What I'm looking for is, does the story work? And if not, where does the story break down for you? If you can say. If you can't say, then just tell me it doesn't work. But that's all I'm really asking for. And pretty much almost all of it that has come in so far has been, wow, great story, except for... And there's like four things that, while a lot of people give me a lot of detail on it, they all boil down to the same thing. And it tells me where I haven't put enough shoring up to keep the story moving without the reader having to stop and duck their head around it. So it's, for a lot of people, I'm going to say maybe as many as half, the story works just as it sits. Which is good. Because to me, the story works just as it sits. And my concern with this beta, with the way it is right now, is that my concern is that it only works for me because I know what's there. I know why things are there. Even things that haven't explained very well at all, if at all. I know why they're there. I know what they're saying. Good morning. Morning. Walking by those bunch of kids, they're all looking at me out of the corners of their eyes like, God, who is this crazy, stagey man? This strange, crazy man walking along with his earbuds clipped to his hat. What's up with that? This is nuts. Yes, yes, I am, but that's not the symptom. So anyway, I look at a story, particularly this one, that has to span so many years, has to span so much time, that it's like connect the dots. And if you step back and squint a little bit, you can connect the dots. I can connect the dots really easily, but I know what the shape is underneath it. And my concern has been, it's the only reason I can see the shape under it, because I know what's happening. And I got enough feedback that sort of confirms that fear. I like that sparseness, but I have clearly a truck. They're small. I've clearly not done a good job in putting enough dots on the page for some significant portion of the readership. That's my friend, it's Scotty Doe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, he's excited today.
Oh, yeah.
Dog was being fractious, and it had been being fractious all the way down the street, so it wasn't just me. And so, like, one of the big ones is the question about how could she be so desperate to do what she did, and it goes back to me at 17, at 13. Even being told, okay, you got to figure out what you're going to do with your life. I was 12. You got to figure out what you're going to do with your life, because you're going to graduate from high school and you're going to have to do something. In 1966, 67, something meant you're going to have to go to school and get an education so that you can get a job that you can work at for the rest of your life and earn a living, keep a roof over your head, keep the family fed, all that stuff. Eldest son in a deeply rooted New England family. Coming up on a get ready, sit with me, monk post. And so basically, the message I got was, okay, here's how this is going to work. Your high school days are the best days of your lives. Your life. It won't be any better. It won't get any better after that. It's just going to get worse. And it's going to stay bad. You're going to be working at a job. And you're going to do it your entire life. Basically, life's a bitch and then you die. And I saw it playing out with my father. I saw him doing this thing that he warned me about. He cautioned me on. He tried to guide me with. But he also gave me some other tools. He gave me some other really important things to think about. Not the least of which was, yes, you're going to get a job, it's going to suck. But you get to pick what the job you got is. And doing it just for the money isn't going to cut it, because nobody gets paid enough to do it for the money. No matter how much money you make, if you don't enjoy it, it's not going to be enough. And there's a huge chunk of truth in that story, in that saying, in that advice. At 12, 13, 14, I didn't see it, but hindsight being hindsight, I can look back and say, yeah, you're right. I took jobs that I needed for the money. They sucked. But I didn't have many of those. There were not that many of those jobs that I had that I took because they sucked. I took because I needed the money. I was only doing it to pay the rent. There weren't that many of those. In the back of my mind, I always had this idea of, well, okay, this might be fun. And there's something about my brain chemistry that says, okay, well, this job sucks. How can I make it better? How can I enjoy it more? How can I do something that takes some of the sting off? And I had some ways to do that that weren't necessarily really great ideas, but that's the thing. That's the surface. And underneath it all is listening to the news and Vietnam and friends being drafted and sent off to the war. And my neighbor, he got drafted and sent off to the war. And he came back from the war. But he wasn't the same guy. And that was scary. And I know a lot of people didn't come back from the war. And I know a lot of people came back from the war with more than mental scars, with a lot of physical issues. And I hate heat. I hate humidity. Which is ironic given where I live right at the moment. Although it's not very humid, it does have a tendency to get way hotter than I'm comfortable with. I've adapted. But I graduated from high school when I was 17, which gave me a window that a lot of people didn't have. Because a lot of people were 18 by the time they graduated and already registered for selected service, already registered for the draft. But I had a window. I had a very brief period of a few months where I could get ahead of the problem by enlisting. And by enlisting in the Coast Guard, I enlisted in a service that didn't have an involuntary program extension in Saigon. But I listened to the Coast Guard. I didn't have a great deal of control over where I went. But you had to volunteer for the Coast Guard Riverboat Patrol. I know guys who did it. Gung-ho assholes for the most part. But that cloud, that ever looming, ever darker, ever more oppressive cloud. From the time I was 10 or 11, and perhaps even before, the subtle clues about, okay, you're a boy, so you're going to have to find a job. So what do you think you might want to do? I don't know, fireman, astronaut. Well, astronaut wasn't a choice then, but didn't want to be a cop, didn't want to be a fireman. At some point, I decided I wanted to be a computer programmer. Then I discovered what a computer programmer in those days did and thought, no, we ain't going there. Years later, of course, I did, but the field had changed a lot. But this idea that well-intentioned advice, well-intentioned concerns, well-intentioned messages received from parents in particular, but mostly from you know, all sorts of people in authority, has a way of shaping your worldview that is at once helpful and pernicious. And this is what happened with Sarah. Her father, Otto, only looking out for the best interests of his daughter, inadvertently created a situation that put her in a psychological bind that prevented her from seeing clearly. And that's not on the page as strongly or as effectively as it needs to be. That's the lesson I'm getting back from the beta readers. So anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I will talk to you then.